Hi all, and welcome back to the second hour. Yes, the world needs love and bundles of it. We need people to come together. Tonight's a first for THI. We had John Darash and Gerard on many times on Cosmic Voice. And we're pleased to announce that he's agreed to come on our show tonight, and it's in a simulcast. And John's going to give us an update of everything that's going on with the National Liberty Alliance, and hope things are going well. Hi, John. Hi, Gerard.
Good evening, Thomas. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, Thomas. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I'll give you a quick update. Let me ask, does your audience generally know what we're doing? Should I give a quick synopsis?
Yes, most of the audience, in fact, all of the audience, is the Cosmic Voice people.
Okay.
Some listen to both shows, some still listen to Drake, and some just listen to mine, and vice versa. So most of it is the Cosmic Voice group. So they all know who you are.
All right. Well, there's a lot of exciting things going on. You know, since we've last spoke, we started Committees of Safety, and Committees of Safety is what our founding fathers did, is they formed what was called Committees of Safety. Literally all over the 13 colonies, and it was all of our founding fathers belonged to Committees of Safety. And it was that platform that they used in order to get the Continental Congress going and eventually forming this nation and the Constitution and so on. So we're redoing exactly what our founding fathers had done. So we've got about 6,000 members now, signed in members with nationalliberalliance.org. But we're looking at that point, hopefully, that we're going to become to critical mass. And we're filing up in Albany Court, I think going to be filing next week. These are exciting times right now. There's a lot of excitement. I heard a lot of positive feelings and thoughts concerning the election, the way it went with the presidency. And we've had some communications in a roundabout way with his campaign people or people working with him in his camp, that being Donald Trump. They're very interested in our papers. They've received our papers. They want more. We're putting together a package right now for them, and that'll be going out probably next week. At the same time, we'll be filing a redress of grievances for all three branches of government and also for all 50 state governors. So we've put all the papers together. We pretty much have everything in writing. We're just cleaning things up and preparing it. We think we're going to be filing it on Tuesday or start the preparing for filing it. We'll go file this, get the summons, and then start serving and then file all the papers. If anybody wants to read some of the papers that we're filing, you can go to nationalliberalliance.org and highlight the grand jury on the far right-hand side of the blue bar. I'd highlight that, and grand jury, come down and click on docket. And you'll see we have three columns there. One that says redress of grievances, which is most of the papers that we've already written. They may still be in a process of correction. But basically that's going to be the papers we're going to be filing. We've got quite a bit of evidence up there in the law documents we'll be using. We're going to require, of course, a response. We will be going, we always knew it would be worthless, and we never have sent anything to the present administration, that being the Obama administration, because we knew it wouldn't go anywhere, and why even alert the enemy of what we're doing. But now with Trump coming into office, we're serving him as president-elect, giving him more of an information more than anything else concerning what's going on and what he needs to do to correct the problems with this nation as far as the administration is concerned. Right now, all three branches of government are lawbreakers. They break law every single day, and they don't even realize it at this point. They're not following anything in the Constitution whatsoever. So we're going to try our best to teach these people, and we're going to be also moving into this case. We filed about 30 or so habeas corpuses across the nation and the federal court systems. We've had a couple of successes, most of them not successful, but a couple of them have been. And now we're moving these into a show cause in this case that we're going to be filing up in Albany. We've got John Doe's written in, and so this case is going to extend to a lot of people. just take the 30 or so habeas corpuses. If each one of them is in a different federal district, then there'll be 30 federal chief judges that will have to answer, and also chief clerks that will have to answer. We will be doing serving or other papers along. We're going in, and you know, everyone here is pretty much familiar what's going on out, or was going on out in Oregon, and still going out in Oregon, and Nevada with the Bundys. We've got a lot of evidence on that, a lot of different sworn affidavits, and we'll be going after the judge, I think it's Judge Brown out there in Oregon, for violating so many different issues. So we're going to be chasing these people criminally. We'll start this case off as a civil suit, but it's going to move into criminal suits. We're going to do indictments from within inside this court case, so we don't have to really worry about arrests. We'll send indictments, and they'll have to answer, and then go through the process. We'll collect our trial juries, bring them together, and try all these cases within this one court case, which ultimately is labeled subversion against the United States of America from enemies both foreign and domestic. And so there's a lot of exciting things going on. What we can use, a couple of things. We can use people to get behind us. We're not asking anyone to give up whatever it is that they're doing. But do come out to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on our membership, just sign in, and take the courses. Become educated. You know, as Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So we need to take this country back, this nation back, by knowledge, by education, by through the court systems and through the political processes that we're now working also through from the other angle, through the committees of safety. So people need to get educated. They can get educated by taking off two free courses. One is on the Constitution, which is the which we suggest to take that one first, because you could do that in one day, you know, 6 to 8 hours on a Saturday or whatever. And then also our civics course, and our civics course is quite long. It's over 120 hours long, so that takes some time to go through. Anybody who would like to become an administrator for to become an investigative body within your county for the common law grand juries, you can check the box when you sign up for our civics course, and then you'll be listed out as a potential administrator for your county. And if your county is filled, you can work in the county next door. These are professional jobs that will be putting together once we get back into the court system and take away from these servants, these out-of-control servants, the judges and the prosecutors who think that they control the system. It's supposed to be the people, so we're going to take it away from them. It's we, the people, that need to orientate the juries as they come in, both grand and trial juries, and prepare them for the job ahead of them for that week or so that they'll be working and acting as, you know, the owners of this country within a courtroom. A lot of stuff going, and a couple other things. Again, education is the key thing. Like I said, take the two courses, go to this page, nationallibertyalliance.org, click on highlight grand jury, click on docket, or you can put nationallibertyalliance.org/docket. You come to the same page. Read these papers. Read the documents we have, and it's a complete education. Anybody who takes those two courses and reads all these documents, and especially if you really work through them slowly and understand what's going on, and they're pretty simple to understand. Just get a dictionary. But most of it you don't need a dictionary for. It's written in plain language for plain people using our founding fathers' language. We don't use legalese or any of that stuff. Become educated. So that's key. Number one, become educated. Become a member. You have to sign up as a member in order to get into the free courses, so you need to sign up for that. But also we need people to back us up. When and if we start to have trials, well, not if, but when we start to have trials, we need people to come to those trials and make sure that things go. It's going to be in New York, up in Albany area. We do realize for people who are many states away, it's going to be difficult for them, of course, to come over to a trial. But you know, those people are living in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and up in the New England area and even out into Pennsylvania and even possibly Ohio. They could travel out to these trials. And there's going to be quite a few trials taking place over time. It's going to take a little while to get our footing in, but we do plan to get it going. If we do get the support of the White House, which we believe we will, then that'll really give us some clout. We also are addressing some of the problems with police brutality, particularly on the federal level, with these people coming out with ski masks and full military gear, breaking down doors and forcing people's faces into the street by pulling them out of their cars with all of this military gear, SWAT teams, and so on. This has got to stop. This is America. These people need not to be armed to the teeth. Neither should they be coming out after us with ski masks. Only criminals cover their face. So these are the things we're addressing with the White House. And we're going to be pressing very hard. We do see that, Mr. Trump doesn't understand the Constitution completely. We listen to what he has to say. And he does a few things that we need to teach him. And I think he's in a position and ready to teach. I think he really wants to save this nation. He understands the economical ways and things that needs to be done to make this nation great again. He seems to be pulling together a controversial cabinet. So that tells us kind of something, that he's doing something different. And he's listening to us. So if we can get his ear and get him really to completely believe in what we're doing and what we're saying, and we back everything we say up with plenty of quotes and footnotes and so on. So if we get his ear and he gets believing, we can change his mind and thinking in the areas that he's wrong, address the problems that he's not aware of. He is very much aware of the elite. There's no doubt about that. But he doesn't appear to be one of them, although he's ranked amongst them. He's not with them. He's kind of lived separated from them, I think. But anyway, we will find out what goes on there as time goes on. But the big thing is the court, getting people behind us. And also, we need whatever people can give. We ask people, especially the members, to give $5 a month or more to support what we're doing here. So we do need donations, especially now with filing all these papers. Again, we have about 60 papers we will be serving. Each one of those is going to have to be served, certified with return slip. And that's going to cost a few dollars. And of course, it's tremendous amount of paperwork and toner that's going to be required, and the mailing cost, and a lot of information and different things going back and forth. If we can possibly hire a secretary, then we'll be able to be much better at this process of what we're doing, because we have a lot of court cases we want to pull in. And other people will be bringing court cases to us, powerful cases that need national attention. But remember, you know, we go after the big cases, we get some clout into the court, we start to get some convictions, and then we start to put the pressures on these elected individuals. We start to, you know, indict some of those if necessary, remove them from office, and letting them know we mean business. Either obey the law or get out of office, or we're going to indict you for subversion. And that's how we have to go at this. And I think we're going to be able to do this in 2017. I think we're going to be successful in 2017. And it's exciting times. So that's kind of a real quick rundown. Maybe Gerard might want to add.
Well, I just want to say some of the practical lessons that we've learned along the way, you know, as far as successes go, our court watcher system has been very successful because, you know, when you show up with a group of people in court and they're taking notes, you know, these guys don't operate very good in the dark and they don't mind changing transcripts. But if you have two or three or four or 10 people, my goodness, they can't even think straight. So that's been a very successful program, and it will continue to be successful as long as the people come out for that. Now, you know, going in on these bigger cases, I don't perceive that we'll have trouble with people coming out. Everybody's going to want to see it. That's going to help, if anything. You know, but don't forget, they'll play their nasty games. They'll try to discredit. They'll call, you know, they'll call us terrorists. You know, I've been called a paper terrorist, you know, because we file paperwork. You know, they have these fusion centers around the nation now where the local, where the law enforcement can all communicate about the terrorist activities that are going on. Well, most of the terrorist activities that the local guys are, that they, what they're training them to is against people who are upholding the Constitution. It's the exact opposite of what they should be doing. And it came back to me one day, somebody that was up there that's in these groups and knows people from Homeland Security, he came back, he said, hey, they told me that they call you guys paper terrorists. And I told him, I said, you go back and you tell them that Gerard wants you to know the definition of a paper terrorist. And that's somebody that files constitutional paperwork that they can't answer, and they're terrorized by it. I said, and you tell them that there's nothing that we're afraid of other than a lit match because we're paper terrorists, you know. But nevertheless, you know, there's a lot of steps here. The other thing is you have to remember President-elect Trump has to get in office. You know, it's a very tenacious time right now. He's got to be careful what he's doing. I don't know what his strategies are. I don't even want to know right now because he's a juggler at this point. And he's looking to balance things, and he's looking to get in there without any trouble. I mean, look, I'm worried about certain things happening closer to the day. I mean, these guys are not going to lay down and roll over easy. You have to understand that. The thing that's going to help is that if everybody pays attention and watches and uses their alternative news media, he's already shut out the managed media. He's opened up to alternative media, which is really going to hurt them. And they've already hurt themselves. So this is a no-brainer, and it's easy. But these are going to be the things that mark our success, getting real news out, real media stories, and keeping it in front of the public. And as long as we can do that, like John says, I don't care if you have Hitler in a position. As long as he's operating in the framework of the Constitution, guess what? He's doing. He can only do the right thing. And who determines that? It's the people. The grand juries come in and audit and look at things and take complaints. You know, if you don't have the people correcting government, government is never going to correct themselves. It never happens. It never will happen. Our forefathers know that. They've lulled us to sleep, making us believe that they only operate in our best interest, and we know how that works. So everybody's awake now. Now you need to educate, and you need to read the fine print, and you need to turn off the boob tube. And most a lot of people have, you know, they understand that that's all fodder, and so I'm excited. I mean, the thing is, can we stay ahead of the curve? That's the thing.
Yeah, and people really need to get active locally. They need to get active educating themselves. Again, if people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. You know, you can't fix a problem if you don't understand the problem and you don't understand how to fix it. So our founding fathers have a formula. We just have to get back to that formula. And we address that formula. It's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and, of course, the Declaration of Independence and other things. But those are the basics. That's the foundation of our nation, of our country. But look at people need to get active locally. Everybody realizes that. Get form a committees of safety. Go up to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on COS. COS will take you to committees of safety. There's a video up there. There's instructions. There's plenty of information on how you can form a committee of safety. You click on a button to see what committees of safety are going on. Check your county out. Make sure there isn't one started. If there is one started, join that one. Get involved. If there's not one started, get one going yourself. We connect with the sheriffs. We do resolutions in a formal manner. Again, we're taking this from what our founding fathers have done, and we're duplicating the process by which they created this country is the same process we, the people, can use to save this country. And then get behind the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Find out what we're doing in the court. All of the information, everything we're doing, runs off of nationallibertyalliance.org, which is a facilitator for an education, communications, and organization. We and ourselves as a website an assembly of people, what we look at as ourselves to be, we're not organizing people to tell people what to do and give orders down. We're not top down. We're trying to create grassroots bottom up. That happens with committees of safety. With the grand jury, we're doing something. We've come together, and I think your people know this, but maybe it's been a while. But, we have gone to throughout all of the nation. We've put out news releases in every county across the nation, pulling people together to talk to them and get them to voice their opinion concerning reestablishing the common law grand juries within their counties. Every state of the union, all 50 states, have been reorganized as a grand jury within the state itself, okay, and is working through the counties trying to get that structure going. And, of course, we're educating people right here in National Liberty Alliance on what to do and how to do these things. But we're only active in one place, and that's in the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. If you go to our website, you'll see that each state has been really brought back under the Constitution as far as the people saying, yes, we want the common law back in. And then, so each state has its own seal, a state to unify the common law grand jury. They have their own seal, and there's a group of people working in order to establish it throughout the state in all the counties. But all of those states have come together, and that is the power and the authority that we're coming of the 6,000 people plus, because we may have about 6,000 members, but we have tens of thousands of people that come and visit our site and listen to what's going on. They come onto our calls. They're not necessarily members for whatever reasons. So we have a lot more people than the 6,000 we have as a membership. But we have all these people behind us. So we're not just a couple of people out of New York or New Jersey or Texas or Washington. No, we're people from every single state of the union, stretching right down there to the grassroots, trying to get into every single county. We have a lot of people from a lot of counties. There are 3,100 and I think 30 or so on. It's been a while since I used that number, but 3,136 or whatever counties in the United States. Goodness, we probably have presence in at least 2,000 counties, at least. So we need the people to get involved, form their committees of safety, do whatever else it is you're doing. Don't stop that. But get together with your local people. Prepare for the emergencies. We have a communication plan across the nation that people need to read about and find out about. So if communications goes down, we have a communication system we're setting up. We talk about food and other survival needs. We also talk about the sheriff and working with the sheriff and educating the sheriff, because that's what the Committee of Safety is all about, getting resolutions with the people in the county and then getting a resolution that the sheriff would come and see and would surely agree with, because we're going to empower him more. And once we get his signature onto our resolutions, then we go to the towns and the cities, and we talk to them about them getting together and making resolutions, and we give them a copy of our resolution to work with us to make sure that we, the people, protect our own land ourselves. And this is how we create a process to protect ourselves during hard times should they come. And again, you know, food and communications is extremely important. And plans of what takes place during an emergency. Everything is out on this website under COS. You can find more about that. But again, educate, become a member, educate, and, you know, give $5 or more. Give whatever gift you can, a one-time gift. We do need money. And get involved and be there when the call goes out. If we're going to have a day in the court, we will blast it out. We'll probably set up some kind of phone link system so that if they change dates or times, we can get that information out quickly through a recall. I forget what they call that system, but there's a system out, a blasting system. But get to these trials that we'll be having up here in New York if you can. And we will simulcast it. Definitely we will have video in the courtroom, and we will be simulcasting it right into the Internet. People will be able to watch it, probably be able to set it right up on our website. We'll talk with our tech people about that. So exciting times, but people need to get involved. You know, only the people can save America. The question is, will you?
Yes. A couple of things, John.
Yes.
Given your A4 paper terrorist, that's a new one for me now. You have some names to call, and also we've got quite a few names for them, but perhaps not on the public air. The courses, I've actually been on the Constitution course, and I got so far on the civics course, and unfortunately my time is very narrow, to say the least, but I want to stress to the listeners of the show, it's very easy, it's comfortable to do, you can do it in your own time, you can save it, so it's not a case of you have to rush through it, and it's very well done, and it's free. You know, we mentioned the first hour about people charging for truth. John and his team have done a lot for the people, and all they ask is for the people to respond back by paying attention and getting involved. That's all. You know, if you can afford $5 a month or $5 a week, fine. If you can't, you can't. There's no push on it. A couple of things I'd like you to stress to the listeners, because like most people are kind of frightened to attend court. Whether it's for their own or anybody else's, they can be intimidating places to most people. But maybe you can talk people over getting over the fear of going to court. And also the role that people that attend court, they don't have to interact with the judges or anybody else. It's just a matter of attending and letting their presence be known. Is that correct, John?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, if they come up to the court case, you know, it's really just there to be a witness to what's going on, to let them know that we, the people, are there. We want them to see our numbers. We want them to know that we are everywhere. We're across the entire United States. Again, we're not just a few people out of New York or something. But, yeah, look, nobody has to say anything. All they have to do is watch, record. We ask everyone to, you know, make notes of what's taking place, and we'll give a form for an affidavit. They write an affidavit concerning the day event, you know, an hour or whatever time we're in the courtroom, and then pass it in. And then these affidavits, especially if there's some violations going on, will be helpful. But I don't think there's going to be many violations. We're doing something very, very different than anybody's ever done. The process is there. The procedures are there. This is our court. The common law courts belong to the people. It's the sovereign and his people that he brings into the court. That's what the courts are about. It's not about the judge and the sheriff or the marshal, whoever's in charge there, or the prosecutor. It's not about them. It's about the people. It's the mindset we have to get. We have to get a new mindset to understand we, the people, control the process. We, the people, have government by consent. And this is how we consent. We consent to our government, their actions and their activities, through the grand jury, by watching them, investigating them, seeing what they're doing. And if we don't like what we're doing, we send them a little note to let them know, hey, you're doing something wrong. You need to correct this, and this is how you can correct it. If they refuse to correct it, then at that point, we bring them before the grand jury. And the grand jury will give them, you know, and we're talking about first the investigative body, which are the administrators, the people who would be that paid position, four people in every county. So they would be giving out that that information, you know, to the servants first, and then they bring them to the grand jury. And if they don't listen to the grand jury, then the grand jury has the ability to indict. Once we indict them, they're pulled from office, and they got to now go to court and face a trial jury for whatever the charges might be. So we need to understand it is our court. We control the court through the juries. The trial jury gets to decide not only the facts of the case, but also the law. And we're going to make that clear. There's a lot to learn. We wrote a book, which you can get up here, on jurists. And so everything you want to know about a jurist and the activities, and so you can read in that book. It's a book that will be handed out to every person who does become a jurist, so they understand what their job is, what their authority is and their power, and who they really are. We, the people, need to feel our oats, so to speak. So you come into the court, and it's going to be our court, not theirs. And again, nobody has to say much of anything. I would say, again, I'll go back to what Jefferson said, a little bit of my own taste to it. If people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So you have to become educated. And you go out here and you read these papers and you see how we talk to these people and how we talk to the judges and how we talk to our elected officials and how we order them around. This is the way, this is the nation we should be having. This is the process by which America should be driven by the people. And the political realm should be driven by the people who are through the committee man process, which actually originally was the committees of safety. And they eventually became the committee men. But we've lost control of the committee men. We've lost control of the process of the juries. We've lost control of the grand jury, the trial jury. No one can get access to them. They're totally all puppetized. They're controlled by people above. We need to take it back. This is the way we do it. But you see, through education, once you start to read these papers, once you take these courses and read these papers, you start to come to understanding, wait a second, this is my nation. This is my country. They have government by my consent, and this is how I consent, and this is the power and the authority I can bring forward to make sure these people are doing the right thing. Everybody has the opportunity to do something. Everybody has the opportunity to serve. Everyone could become a committee man as time goes on. Of course, there's only so many committee men, but, you know, you go in for 2 years, you come out, someone else goes in. We need to share this. Everybody needs to go to the process when they're called for becoming a jurist, whether it's a trial jury or a grand jury. And those who really want to get involved, become administrators and get educated. And again, the full education is right here. Everything you will need to learn and know, you can find out on our website, and we'll have more courses coming up for other things. But again, knowledge is power. And when you understand and you read these papers and realize how we speak to these people and how we bring them back into their place where they belong and we're the boss, that starts to give you a lot of power inside yourself, and you start to be able to reflect that power. You know, first you have to be able to think free and then act free. That's the process. Until then, you'll never be free. You have to exercise that. But it first comes to learn how to be free. You know, freedom isn't the ability to be able to walk out of your house, go down to the store and come back, or buy something or whatever it is you want to do. That's not freedom. Well, that may be a little bit of freedom, but it's not liberty. Learn what liberty is. When you learn what liberty is, that's power. Liberty is property. Liberty is the ownership of your body and the decision making for your body, what you want to do. That's your business, and it's not the government's business.
Yeah. Everybody knows that the law, legalese, is rather complicated. And perhaps some people are a bit skeptical of learning the law because it's so complicated, and we think it's rather
their law. Their law is complicated.
But, perhaps you can talk about or tell the listeners that common law, actual common law, is a lot more simpler than the law that was being observed currently. Can you touch on that, John?
Yeah, common law is the law of the heart. God says that he wrote it into our hearts. We know it already. A jury doesn't need lawyers to tell them anything concerning a case when someone commits a crime. The juries could know, the trial jury, the grand jury knows whether someone injured somebody or not, whether there's a crime took place. I mean, we're not stupid. We know that. It's from the heart. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. So a grand jury knows. A trial jury understands that if they're listening into a crime, they understand that it's a crime. They have to decide and figure out if this person done it and what needs to be done to fix this person that they injured, because for every injury, there must be a remedy. You know, common law is really a lot of common sense. Yeah, there's some basic principles, and it's the principles of God, ultimately, but, you know, they come from the heart. A couple of major principles that common law operates upon is, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party, and the state cannot be that injured party. So if there's no injured party, then there is no crime. Now, the other side of that coin also, you know, for every injury, there must be a remedy. There must be a fix for this. So if someone, you know, steals my money, they steal my whatever it is they steal. They steal $1,000 from me. And, the trial jury may decide you got to pay this guy back $4,000 plus the $1,000 or whatever it is they want to do. It's all about fixing the problem. And it's not about putting people in jail. Common law isn't about putting people in jail. Sure, there are some people that are violent, some people that need to be restrained and things need to be done. We have to work on what we got to do with that, and the people can figure that out. Each court, each case gets to decide, you know, the group of people in that case gets to decide what needs to be done. This is their community. They're there to protect the people also. But they also know what's right and what's wrong, and it's all about the heart. The law doesn't play, you know, as far as, you know, all these statutes that the government has created that we have to live by, especially on the county level, on the town level, and the city level. You know, all these statutes, and you don't even know there's 10,000 statutes on the federal level. You don't even know clue on what you're doing, whether you break it. We break the law every day. You don't even know about it, you know, by the way. But, you know, that's not what the real law is. We need to get rid of all that stuff. The law is not statutes. The law is ultimately that which is written in the hearts of men that comes out of God. It's righteousness and truth. And so it's not a big thing, you know. If there is a statute, for instance, let's say an individual who has certain authority and they break that authority, they overstep their jurisdiction, and then there's a code concerning that governing, you know, the people of authority. There are codes that's good to govern those people in authority. And it says that if they do this or do that, there's a prison sentence of 10 years or 2 years or 20 years or whatever the case may be. And there may be a fine included in that too. But the trial jury gets to decide and look at that law and say, hey, that makes sense, or nah, that's too much time. Not for this case anyway. Or it's not enough time, you know, or it's not enough money. You know, or whatever the case may be. You see, the trial jury gets to decide everything. It's all about figuring the problems out ourselves. That's what common law is all about, standing on righteousness and truth and seeking out truth. And there's an amazing thing that takes place when you have this process that we have set up in the courts, the way things go, okay? People get up and they're witnesses, they're questioned, they're cross-examined, and so on and so forth. And all that process that's going on, the trial jury just watches, and they can figure it all out. It doesn't take long to figure out who did what, when, and how. Occasionally, they can't figure it out, so they got to let him go, because maybe he's not guilty. Or occasionally, they say, wait, this guy's not guilty at all, you know, or he's guilty of sin. And let me tell you, he needs to pay, or he needs to be corrected somehow. Again, he gets back to the hearts of the people, which is where common law resides. So you don't need to really know and understand anything difficult. You don't need to go to law school or any of those things. You know what? The true law that we have is really the Constitution, and it's like this small little booklet I'm holding in my hands. Everybody probably has a pocket Constitution or they've seen it. And the two basic processes are in here. Of course, it has a Declaration of Independence. But it's got so many articles in this thing. Article 1, 2, and 3. Really focuses in on the three branches of government. And the rest of articles up to number 7, generally speaking, covers a lot of little different things in between, but it's all about government. So this is the law that the government has to obey. And this is the law we, the people, need to know so we can see when the government is breaking the law. It's the law of the Constitution, the law of the land, the law of we, the people. We put this government together. This is as far as you can go. Here's the jurisdiction. Don't overstep it. Don't abuse someone's unalienable right of due process. don't abuse someone's unalienable right of having a jurisdiction of common law. You see, we need to understand that part of it. And it's not a lot. It's really only a few pages. It's not a big deal. And we teach it online. We teach it in a course. We have it all over the place. You read our papers, you'll learn it there. But the other part of this is the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights, let me read this in the preamble of the Bill of Rights, okay? Let me see if I can find that preamble here. Okay, let me, just give me 1 second. Nope, I'm not going to find it that quickly. Maybe I'll have to find it, but let me see if I can find it here now. Well, here it is, the preamble to the Bill of Rights. Listen to what it says here, okay? Let's see where we'll start. The conventions of the number of the states having at the time of their adoption the Constitution. And by the way, the Bill of Rights was pushed through by the Anti-Federalists. Okay, there was the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalists. Okay, and the Anti-Federalists was for the same, pretty much most of what the Federalists were all about. But the enemies of liberty was in the federal in the Federalist group, and they were putting a lot of things in that had to be neutralized. And they did get a few things that aren't worded good enough in our cutting that we need more protection. And the and three of the states, or four of the states, four of the states refused to sign the Constitution unless a Bill of Rights was put in there. So they all agreed that they would do a Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights is ten amendments. Now, this is what it says. The convention of a number of the states having at the time of their adoption the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. Now, the Bill of Rights is really, you know, a bill of restrictions. It tells the government what they cannot do. And if you read, when you understand that you read the Constitution in light of the Bill of Rights, in other words, always checking it against the Bill of Rights, anything that's in there that they want to do and they start to follow a process, but if it starts to violate anything in this Bill of Rights, stop, you can't do that, okay? And here's a, for instance, they're pretty simple. I mean, they're basics. Congress shall make no law. That's pretty good. You know, that's easy to understand. Congress shall make no law. What? In respecting to the establishment of religion, forbidding the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Look, this is simple. I understand that. You know, and sometimes you need a dictionary. You look up a word, you know. Listen to Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia. This is common sense, very simple, no big thing here, especially when you understand who the militia is. The militia is every able-bodied man in America between the ages of 17 and 45. And, of course, it extends past that if you want to participate. But that's who the militia is. It's everybody. We are the militia. In New York State, it makes that clear. We, the people, are militia, and we have a duty to protect the boundaries of this state and to defend this state if called upon. Every person in the United States is required to respond at the call to the militia. There's the organized militia, and there's the unorganized militia. We all belong to the unorganized militia. Well, you know what? In the unorganized militia, every single person needs to have one military-grade automatic weapon. Whatever the weapon is out there that a soldier would carry, the basic weapon, we the people all need to have one. And yet they've restricted that. You know, we have semi-automatic weapons. But, you know, it says a well-regulated militia, means well-regulated all across the whole United States. Everyone has to, the federal government sets up the process, but the control of the militia goes through the governor, and who gets to choose all of the high-ranking individuals who operate the events and the daily process of the militia, okay? The president can call the militia, but so can the governor. But the governor has the basic control over the militia, generally speaking, okay? Being necessary, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of the state, okay? The militia in Texas needs to be trained in the same way that the militia in Jersey needs to be trained. We need to interlock with each other and understand the process of how we need to, you know, defend ourselves and defend our nation, how we operate under those conditions, military conditions. So well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Why? Because the militia needs it. And who's the militia? You're the militia. I'm the militia. You can't take our guns away. And the purpose is for the necessity of the security of a free state. You see, this is simple stuff. And it's exciting stuff because it empowers you. When we, the people, speak with the same tongue and we tell them, no, this is our unalienable right. You don't have a right to do it. And enough people are able to get up and articulate that and push back, they're going to break down and we will win. And that's what we're doing here with NLA, National Liberty Alliance. We're educating, we're organizing, we're communicating, and we're setting them, empowering them down on the grassroots level by creating committees of safety in every single county, and also creating administrations for the grand jury, the common law grand jury and trial jury in every single county, four administrators who answer to their own oath to the creator of this universe, and each one of the four controls the other. In other words, we police each other. When we take an oath before God, we vow to God that we're going to act with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And one of the four individuals starts to act outside of honor. It's the duty of the other three say, you're not acting in honor. You need to fix this. And that person needs to repent and come back into the fold, so to speak. And so we have to police ourselves to make sure we all stand righteously and standing on honor, justice, and mercy. And that's the principles that will glue all of us together. And that's what we need to be doing on the grassroots level and working together.
Yeah. I think it's kind of been lost on people as the education has been manipulated over time of how important the Bill of Rights is. You know, people mention the Constitution without really understanding or grasping it. There are some that know it, but there's far too many who don't. But the Bill of Rights, in essence, is just as important in many aspects. Because that's the fail-safe document for we the people to prevent government overstepping its boundaries.
Absolutely. Let me tell you how I view this, okay? The Declaration of Independence is the foundation of our nation, okay? That's where we made a contract with God. We covenanted with God. We said to God, because we called on the Creator, we want his unalienable rights. We don't want the rights from men. We want the rights from you, God. However you understand God, that's your business. But we called upon God, and we said to God, we want your unalienable rights. And so we used his name in that Declaration of Independence. We called him Nature's God, okay? And we told them that we had the rights and that we have a right to have government by the consent of the people. And that's where it all starts. So the foundation is the first part of our law. You know, I mean, the Declaration of Independence is the first part of our law. It's the foundation of our law. You know, it's part of our law. We use it in our court cases, the words in the Declaration of Independence. Upon that is the framework of the Constitution. That's the framework. That's the house, okay? And that Constitution lays out government, what the authorities are, how far, how much authority, who's a vested with what, who's got what powers, broken up into three branches, and so on. And then the third part is called the capstone. That's the Bill of Rights. That covers the entire house. And it says right here, we have to realize that the Bill of Rights is part of the Constitution. Even though it was done 2 years later, it was part of the Constitution. Let me read one sentence again. Resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives, the United States of America. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Wrong sentence. The conventions of a number of states having at the time of their adoption the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction of the Constitution or abuse of its powers, okay, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. These are those further declarative, further
declaratory.
Declaratory. Declaratory. Further declaratory and restrictive clauses. This is it. This is part of it. It's one piece of work, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But the Bill of Rights is the capstone. anything you read into power, when people have power and they take this power and they start to execute that power, if it violates any of these amendments, then you could say, stop, you can't do that. And whatever Congress does that violates the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our unalienable rights, is null and void, according to Marbury versus Madison. And that has been the bedrock of our nation from the very beginning. Marbury versus Madison, I think, was 1803, I think. It was very early on in our nation. Our nation was created in ultimately in 1792. Was it 90 or 90? No, 1789 was when the Constitution took effect. And in 1793, I think it was, we had, that's when the Bill of Rights came out. I have to look to see exact. No, actually, 91.
1776 was the original.
Well, that was the Declaration of Independence. That was the Constitution, and 1791 was the Bill of Rights. So 10 years after the Bill of Rights, Marbury versus Madison made it clear that anything that is repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. And that law has stood the time. For 200 years, that law still sits, and it's the bedrock of our nation. So there's not a lot to this. You know, if you read some really good landmark Supreme Court decisions like that, and United States versus Williams, which was in, I think, 1991 or 92, and some others, okay, they're great reads for the sole purpose of what the case was all about and a conclusion, something, you know, some great statement like, you know, anything that is repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful thing. That's ammunition that you can hold on to and use when something that is repugnant to this Constitution, and you can let it be known. That's meaningless. It has no power, has no authority. It's as if it's never been enacted. So law is really simple. There's not a lot to it.
But you mentioned earlier about common law and not about putting people in prison. Of course, at the moment, right, we have 86% of the prison population who are in for a victimless crime.
Mm-hmm.
So the implementation of common law would correct that considerably.
Right. There was a judge, I think his name was Judge Bork. I think it was back in the 70s or 80s or something. I think it was 80s. I think it was in Reagan's administration, possibly, when he was being brought up as a potential Supreme Court justice, and they beat the hell out of him. I mean, it is said that he's one of the greatest legal minds of his time. And he made a statement that if you would get rid of all the laws that a victim is crime, get rid of the statutory courts, or if people understood when they walk into most of these courts and they're convicted of a crime that they have all they have to do is reject and resist it, that we would empty out 90% of the prisons, maybe even more. Okay, and there's no need for federal prisons. We have county prisons. Look, if people do something wrong, most people, you know, once they're caught, they got their, you know, their roots here, wherever it is that they're living. They're going to deal with the problem and have to pay whatever the restitution is and move on. There's no reason to put people in jail. And if someone's a chance of flight, you know, you put these little rings on them, these electronic rings on their legs, and we'll know where they're at, make sure that they stay in the neighborhood and they don't try to run, and that they take care of their business and pay restitution if that's necessary. And keep the prisons for the really violent people. And then anybody that's on a federal level or even a state level or whatever level commits a crime and has to go to prison, they should be able to go to their county prison, because look at these families that these people have. You need to have that connection. After all, one day they're going to get out, and we need to really try to bring them back into society. Right now, we're not preparing anyone to bring back into society. We're destroying even the good people who have been put in jail. They eventually become so distraught and angry and become a problem more often. You know, they become criminals, some of them, because they're thrown into this system.
They learn from bad habits. You know, I mentioned this on a recent show. There's a problem in the construction industry in America currently, and there's also a massive problem with the agriculture industry. Well, given 86% are non-violent, victimless crimes that are people in the prisons, why don't we give them trades? And I'm sure they'd sooner spend all day doing
well, first,
construction
first
or working
we gotta let
on
most
the farm.
Of them free. First of all, we got to let most of them go free because, like you say, a lot of people are in jail because they're driving without a license. I don't need to have a license. It's an unalienable right to drive. I mean, look, if they give it to give me classes for free and I'm a learning driver, I'll go take the course. And they should basically do that. School did it. When I was a kid, school did it. I learned through driver's ed in school, you know, and how to drive and so on. But look, you know, you may need a license to drive a commercial vehicle. That's understandable. That's a controlled process, you know, is the commercial part of the of our life, okay? But as far as my liberty is concerned, I don't need to have a driver's license. And getting these tickets and everything, we need to use our common sense. Look, at you go down the street and a red light comes on, I'm going to stop, whether I'm going to be able to get a ticket or not. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I hear the crickets chirping and stuff and there's nobody around, and I'll stop and then I'm going to go again, you know? Common sense.
We have to change the idea or the thinking that driving is a privilege and not a right that we seem to have permeated society here in America.
We do this back in school. We have to get back into the school in the lower grades and teach responsibility, teach civics and civic duties, and teach children as they become adults. You know, everybody at the age of 17, okay, needs to go to boot camp for the militia. Whether it, and I think 3 months is wise. First of all, it's going to make a man out of everyone to begin with, which is a good thing. It's a responsibility, something that needs to be done. So let's get people to become, you know, responsible. Let's have our children become responsible. Let's teach our children, okay, when you're 17, you need to go to boot camp for the militia. You know, you may have to go once a year for a couple of weekends just to kind of freshen up. But generally speaking, we're here to protect our own country. Everyone should be able to shoot a rifle and be able to protect themselves. The other thing is we need to teach our children that when they become 18 or whatever age it is, 18 is a good age, or they can do it any time in their life ultimately, that they should become a committeeman for 2 years. It's not a lot of your life. It's a few meetings a year. It's not a big thing. But you learn about the political process, and you get to see the controls and make sure we get good people in the office. And it's a whole new process than political process in the sense of politics. It's the political process without the politics, without the bullshit, I say. You know, you get in there and you're looking for statesmen, okay? And we're putting that whole process back together the way it should have been. And that's what we're doing with the committees of safety, which will eventually morph into committeemen, okay? People need to understand that they also, when they're called for the jury, they need to respond. And look, at you know, maybe you have a business or maybe something's up and you can't go when they call you. Well, you can let them know, hey, I can't come this week or this month, but you know what? In 3 months, I got a business deal going on or whatever. You know, but 3 months of slow time, can you put me on the book for that? Sure, we'll move your name over there. Click. We need to be responsible. People need to do these things. And these things are fun things. These are the things that control our lives and our future. It controls our nation. It controls a moral country, a moral nation, a nation that we feel that we can live in liberty and in peace, a nation that we should have.
Yes, I agree. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. Have we made any advancements on getting court space being granted yet?
Well, that's going to happen in Albany.
Right.
You know, that's what this whole thing is about up in Albany. We're filing redress of grievances up there, and we're taking control of the court. It's not the, you know, the people or prosecutor. It is the grand jury standing as the prosecutor. We, the people, the true people, standing as the prosecutor. We're going to prosecute the cases. And we will call trial juries together, and the people within, you know, the area, the judicial area, they'll make the decisions on whatever the matter might be. But, Gerard, do you want to add some stuff in here?
So much stuff. One thing you didn't mention, and I mean, you did good, but there's like rights. Every right has a corresponding duties. Rights and duties are synonymous. So what you're talking about when you say everybody should do this and should do that, you have a right, but that right is backed up by a duty you have, or otherwise you lose your rights. So that's what this is all about. Responsibility, right? And, you know, look, they've commercialized everything. You know, everything's commercialized, which shouldn't be commercialized. They commercialized the jails. That's why you have victimless people in their victimless crimes because they're making money off of them, and everybody goes away broken. The people that are in jail go away broken, but what about the victims? So they punish, even if they belong there, even if you know, the guy was a criminal, so they put him in jail, and they make a slave labor out of him, but the victim goes away broken. Yeah, there's some programs for victims that people take donations for, but that prisoner, that person that did the wrong, he's not being rehabilitated. Basically, what he's in is what they call it the criminal justice system, and that's exactly what it is. It's a criminal justice system because we're not rehabilitating anybody, and they don't want to rehabilitate anybody because they make money. That's what the bottom line is, and they've been doing it for years and years. So that's the other thing. The other thing you didn't mention is, look, at the Bill of Rights, they used to interchange it all the time. They used to call it the Bill of Prohibitions. Remember that. That way you don't forget. The Bill of Rights, it was called the Bill of Prohibitions because that's what it is. And once you can marry the Bill of Rights, the Bill of Prohibitions up with the Constitution, that's a very powerful roadmap right there. And that's what we're doing. So as far as getting in the courts, look, we started out with the pen and we started going in and we tried gently. Well, now it's like splitting wood. When we go up to Albany, we're at the axe with the mall. That's what we're doing. We're driving that wedge into the lockdown, and they're not going to be able to resist. And I believe that everything has a time and a place and a season. And I think we're at that season and that time and place. So I'll end with that.
Thanks very much for that, Gerard. First of all, I want, before you go, both of you, I'd like to commend both of you for the work you've done. And the work you've done with the people within National Liberty Alliance. We had Carl Appel on a couple of months ago, and he represented your group very, very well on that, and that's credit to you both. So I'd like to thank you both for that. John?
Yeah, well, we appreciate coming on the show, and anytime you need us to come on to let people know what's going on, we'll come anytime. So thanks for having us, and you know, look at only the people can save America. That's the bottom line, and that's my final words. The big question is, will you?
I want to mention one thing before we go, John, and maybe I shouldn't talk about it here, but we told people to go to the site and read Docket. I realize that you don't get our latest stuff unless you're signed in. I don't know if we should change that, but all these
papers,
if you're not signed in with a username and password, you can't get into the latest paperwork to register. You get the older stuff.
I'll talk to Carl and make sure that opens up. No, we don't want to restrict that because we have a lot of people that are not members, and for whatever reasons, but they come out, they read our site, they even come to our calls. So hey,
look, you can't miss these papers. These papers are the papers we're filing in the court. They are instructional, and read the footnotes. And so we'll make this so it opens up to everybody. You know, there's lots of good stuff, and you know what? It's not boring because as you read it, you're learning, and you'll recognize the things that you see every day, and that's what holds your interest. You go, oh, I never knew that, and you'll want to read it. If you got any kind of reading comprehension or ability, it's very easy reading. It really is.
Anything like I said, that empowers is it?
That's right.
Yes.
So,
what it's about, at the end of the day, self empowerment.
Amen.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you for coming on. Anytime you know you feel you've got an update, just Skype me and we'll get you on the show.
Okay.
You know, it's as John and Gerard have passionately said over the past hour and in previous shows when we've had them on Cosmic Voice, there is no savior. You know, the savior is us. That's what it's all about.
We the people.
We've been kind of sold short on education. John's site and his people have put it all together for you in a very simple to read and easy to learn format. It doesn't cost anything. Sign up. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to sign up. If you want to donate and you have the ability to donate, it's there. If you can't, that's fine also. But at least go and learn where you've been sold short. We all find out where we've been sold short, we recognize there's a problem, and then we provide the solution. So thanks to John and thanks to Gerard for coming on. And we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas.
Right, we're going to go into a musical break, and I'm...
Okay, you still there? Gerard?
Yeah, I muted myself.
Okay. All right, we're live over the conference call here, so I'm going to open the conference up for Q&A for a while.
Q&A session started.
All right, good evening, everybody. I guess everybody's been listening in to the program on the radio, and if anybody has any questions or comments or anything, lines are open, *6 to get into the queue. Hey, Carl, can you check to make sure that that no pages are really restricted, and especially the educational pages, only the educational, the ones where the courses we want, that has to be a membership. I think there's very little that's restricted.
Yeah, well, I'm looking. It was the grand jury page you're talking about, right?
Right. If you go grand jury and then you go docket, if you're not signed in, you don't get docket case number not
yet.
Yeah,
let's make sure anybody.
Yeah, I don't actually, like, I'm looking at it, and are you sure it's in that folder? Because, like, I don't actually see it, and I'm logged in as the admin on the site here. I don't see anything underneath
the grand jury.
The people filed.
Well, go highlight grand jury. Highlight grand jury.
Yes.
And then come down and click on docket, and that's the page that should open up whether you signed in or not.
Yeah, and it does open up if you're not signed
and,
in.
And the grand jury page itself, which I'm going to revamp soon because I'm trying to work at all these people on the grand jury level, but it's going to take a little time.
Okay.
It did open up, but it didn't open up to this latest stuff, this whole page. It's like it looks like a completely different page when you're not signed in.
Okay, so let me compare the two pages then, what it should look like. Look back to you on that.
Yeah,
right.
Just make sure people can get into it. That's the key.
Yep.
So, all right, so if anybody has any questions or comments, *6 to get into the queue, and we'll take some questions for a little while. And hang on a second. Okay. All right, we do have a person in the queue, so we'll take the first person. Give us your first – oh, it looks like Eric. Eric, what state are you in? Go right ahead. You got the mic.
This is Eric in Georgia.
Yes, Georgia. Go right ahead.
John Newton, the use by the Democratic and Republican parties, excuse me, I'm a little out of breath, had those names illegally, and I was wondering if you could explain, because I just don't understand exactly.
The Republican Party and the Democratic are names that belong to the people within the government structure and process, okay? And, you know, originally what's really amazing is the Republican Party and the Democratic Party used to be one party. It was Jefferson's party called the Democratic Republican Party. And it wasn't that it was a democracy, but we used the democratic process to choose our republic. We're ruled by law. We're governed by law and not by men. And that's the key. And, of course, they split Jefferson in half. Both parties claim Jefferson, and yet they both take him into two different directions. But nevertheless, the party system here, as it is not only in New York, but anywhere, in any state, everywhere, this is a name, Republican or the Democratic Party, belongs to the people. Now, they have incorporated the Republican and Democratic Party. They've incorporated on very many, many levels. They've got all kinds of things going on, like a business, and they have total control over the parties because they oscillate the power in the elections, you know, like here in most states. There may be a few states that aren't like this, but most states are, especially the states with the large populations. You know, those are the ones they really need to control. But they oscillate the power. For instance, we have 62 counties here in New York. And 31 counties might run 1 year for an election to be an odd year in the Republican end or the Democratic end, but let's say the Republican side. But the other 31 counties are still in power. And by keeping that power, that other 31 counties in power, and then when the other 31 counties run and the other ones are in power, it oscillates the power so they maintain control of the structure from above. So it's always a top-down process, and you can't get in. We tried to take the committeeman process back to give it to the people, And in the committeeman process, that's where it is. If you go into the New York State law, it talks about this and the committeeman process and all these things and the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. It belongs to the people. So you can't incorporate off a political process or a political item or a political name and use it for a business. And so the day that we take this process back shuts them down completely. They got to shut their phones off, shut their offices down. There's a moneymaker machine they got going there. All that comes to an end. And that hopefully will be shortly, sometime, depending on how fast things work that we get into the system. And again, I think 2017 looks like it because there's so many things coming and so many things coming together.
I want to make something clear here on the Democratic and Republican parties and how they took control. Number one, they got rid of the elected committee man, and they turned him into appointed. And that's why they need half the counties there, because they changed the party rules so they can appoint in the new people coming in. You see, if they all went out, it would take an elected official to reappoint them, right? They took the elected committee man, and they got them running petitions, and that petition is nothing more than a petition to be nominated, to be appointed at the first meeting. They've completely changed it. So that's how it's top down now, because now the county boss there, the county chair, he's the guy that's approving and appointing the committee men. And they're not elected. They're not being elected by their precincts, by their neighbors, the way it was meant to be in groups of 10 and 100. And that's, and that's how it went through, where the people were able to put their influence in those candidates to pick the candidates they wanted. They're sending candidates down who they pick, who kiss their ring, and they tell the committeeman, you carry his petitions. You know what happens if you're a committeeman today and they say, well, carry, George Bush's petition, you don't want George Bush? They say you're fired. Well, how can you fire a committee man if he's an elected official? You have to do an Article 78 and all this, but they don't because they're appointed. And so they don't ask any questions. They pick the candidates. The committee men run around like good little robots and carry the petitions to get them the signatures to get them on the ballot. So anybody that isn't in their club doesn't get on the ballot. Now look at George Washington did two terms as president, and his whole farewell address laments about the party system, and he said, if you don't watch them, they're going to take the reins of power that brought them into power, and they're going to take it away from the people and run with it themselves. And that's only eight years. He already saw the writing on the wall way back then. So it's a very serious thing, and that's right where they went. That's right where they subverted us, and he predicted it, which is amazing, I think.
I agree. He nailed it. And y'all nailed it, too. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Okay. We've got, Terry from New Jersey. Go right ahead, Terry. You've got the mic.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have been following the Pizzagate story, but I noticed something interesting on New York Times, actually. Not that I think New York Times is an unbiased source, but they talk about side effects of what they're now doing is they're censoring people who are reporting on this issue, like Reddit, Twitter, YouTube, because the people on, for example, YouTube, or at least one guy I know, is complaining that, according to YouTube, is trying to shut down his site and censor him, despite the fact that, as he says, that he followed all the guidelines set down by YouTube. And so, it's an interesting business model because you're not paying for anything from YouTube or anything like that or Facebook. So basically they can control it and they can do whatever they want to it. So now what's happening is you got new sites popping up that are not going to be uncensored. And I think that, I noticed a couple of them, and I think everybody should start joining them because they're not going to be able to get their message out.
You know what, Terry? They're their own worst enemy. This is the snake eating the tail, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're going to empower new sites. And I dare say Trump people and those people up there are going to help them because they're going to help get that in. And all we got to do is go to those alternative sites. Look at Google, Facebook, YouTube. They have perfect control. And we know that they change data on that all the time, and they kick people off. We know all their dirty little tricks. And so people are waking up. And anytime there's an alternative one, I think I would go use it. And as long as it's working good, you know, I would stay off of them otherwise. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, Facebook is very popular. I got on there. I break out in a rash to use Facebook, you know. The kids know how to use it, but I just didn't like the fact of the control they have and that law enforcement uses it to peer into your homes to listen to what your kids are saying. They love it. The schools use it. I mean, it's really a very double-edged sword, this social media. You have to educate. Kids have to be educated in so far as how to use social media, you know, and they got all things, you know, they got certain videos that won't play except for on Facebook. And I just watched a couple of how-to videos where people are putting on there, this is how you take a video out of YouTube and play it on your own site, you know, by tricking it into thinking you're watching it on a mobile and then doing this and then going back. So the people are figuring it out. And I think ultimately they're going to fall. I really do.
You know, all of those companies are in collusion with tyrants. And that's the bottom line. And the fact that they're in collusion with tyrants and they're now aiding and abetting and they're working with them to steer this country ultimately to be subverted. So once we get to the other side of things, anybody who really understands what's really going on in this company or that company and knows the dirt and what they've been doing and can bring a case together and do affidavits and get all the dirt on them and bring it for the grand jury, and we can take it and we can put these people in jail for subversion. There's a lot of people that need to go to jail for subversion. But we also want to realize and keep in mind mercy is on top of this whole thing. We're coming ultimately, you know, with an olive branch. If whoever's in power turns from their evil ways and starts working with we the people to bring this nation back in order again, then we'll forgive them. We'll let it go. Now, if they've injured someone, we can't forgive that because we don't have the authority to forgive someone that they've injured. But if they've been playing ball with these tyrants and want to turn and do the right thing now, look, we need to save the nation. That's first and foremost. And look, the other thing is this, is if we're going to put everyone in jail that's involved with this subversion, literally all of the capitals and of course, Washington, D.C., would be a ghost town. Because in one way or another, they all are participating. As a matter of fact, we the people even participated in it because we didn't educate ourselves in the first place. And we don't understand and know the violations of the law. Look at the 17th Amendment. How can we be so stupid to upset the power structure by removing the authority of the state? The states have no say in Washington, D.C. at all, and we wonder why we're in such a mess? And it's all because of the 17th Amendment, the senators. We took them away and gave them to the people. People already had representation. The states need representation, and there's a balance of power between the two, because what the people want and the state doesn't want, then they're not going to get it. But what the state wants and the people don't want, the state ain't going to get it. You see, it's a check. And this is, people need to become educated to understand this. As a matter of fact, it was such an important point, the 17th Amendment, that there are two parts in the Constitution that is very, very specific about this thing and doesn't permit for the senators to be done away with. One of them, I think, is in Article 4 of the Constitution. Let's see. Article 4 of the Constitution, or Article 5 or 6. Let's see. 6, 6. Okay, I think it's 6. I went through this before. Here it is. It's 5. Okay, listen to this. This is Article 5. Okay, listen to what it says. Okay, it says here that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. Now, suffrage or equal suffrage means the right to vote. No state will be deprived the right to vote in the Senate. Well, we've deprived them. They don't vote in the Senate no more for the state. And all that could be nullified. If you read our papers, we talk a lot about this in our papers, so people should be reading the papers to understand and the other clauses that prevent this from happening, and we can deal with this through nullifications. We need to gather the governors together to work within their states with their own legislators to understand that they have the power and the authority to nullify and bring this thing back and send their own senators there to Washington and fix the problems. If the states had control of their senators, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. But they don't have that control. Anyway, anything else, Terry?
No, that's it.
All right, I don't see anybody else in the Q&A. I kind of like that because that means we can shut down. I'm tired. you got any final words, Gerard?
I got
goodbye.
So many, but yeah, goodbye.
We'll take Ollie from Colorado before we go, and you can think about some final words. Let's take Ollie on. Okay, Ollie, go right ahead. You're in the nick of time. You just got in there in time. You're unmuted, Ollie.
I done muted my mic. Hey, good interview. Quick question. They've got Amnon Ryan in solitary confinement again. They're using solitary confinement to isolate them from their legal counsel. Okay. A few days ago, Roger Roots went back down to Nevada, was checking in to talk to Ryan. Oh, we changed our policy. You can't go in anymore. Yesterday, the gal in charge of the law library on some little piddly thing wrote them up. They're back in solitary confinement. The first hearing, guess what, is tomorrow. All this political prisoner abuse, and I realize when Sessions gets in, we're going to have some hammers. We're going to get some investigations going. Is there anything we can do now to start fighting political prisoner abuse?
Yeah, we addressed this to the president in the papers that we've written for him to answer under our right of redress, and we let him know that we know that he's not going to check, but we're going to be watching and listening to what he's going to be saying in his inauguration. We want to hear what he's got to say, and hopefully he's going to be talking about these issues that we're talking about. And then we're going to watch his first 100 days, but we will do show causes on him if he doesn't fix it. I think he's very much aware, especially you still have a presence out there from an individual, some woman, I don't know her name. I know talking with Robert, who's working with us as a connection into the Trump camp. And so he's interested. He knows what's going on out there. I'm sure she's keeping him updated. And when he gets into office, he could do something about it because he can turn around and have them all taken out of prison. He can give them, what do they call that? What this president has done already. I hear he's given 1,000 people amnesty, but it's not amnesty. What do they call it?
Pardon.
So he can give them all pardons and get them out of there to begin that way. But that's not going to end it for us. We are filing papers up here in New York. Next week is our plan. And if everything goes according to plan, Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, we will be filing up in Albany and our case will start. Once that process starts, we'd like to start gathering all the paperwork. We're going to do all of the habeas corpuses. And, of course, we did habeas corpus for the Hammonds. We did habeas corpus for the Bundys and all the other individuals out there already. And we're now going to do show causes on these people. We want to go after Judge Brown particularly. She belongs in jail. She needs to go to jail. She needs to go to jail for quite some time. And there's enough counts against her. Probably she'll spend the rest of her life in jail, and she deserves it. And there's a lot of marshals out there. We want to find these people that killed Bavoy Finnegan. We have a lot of things to do. But you know what? We can't do it all. We need the people with the boots on the ground. Maybe we can get some professional people who are professional investigators that are interested in giving back to their country by maybe out in your area that can pull the necessary information and investigate this and bring it in and to our case so that we can go and prosecute it. We want to prosecute those people. We want to prosecute that judge up there was that Montana in the Robinson case. We want to go after the judges and all the people down in Nevada that's going after the Bundys. And we want to go after, look at, I want to go after any case where we got, where someone's got their door knocked in and they haven't gotten any justice, and some tactical force comes in military gear and stick guns in their faces and in their children's faces, maybe killed their dog or something. I want to put those people in jail.
John,
we need to go after them, but we need affidavits. We need people working to bring that information. Yeah.
We got numerous documented cases. We couldn't even go through them all. We need to pick the top ones and go after
them. Well, the ones that we're talking about now, I think, are the top ones.
Right, because you're never going to get through it. You never. There's
yeah.
so
oh,
many.
No, no, we're not.
So
we're
many
not.
Are worth it, but, you know, we got to pick
but,
one.
You know, justice,
for that one.
Justice is going to come on its own level anyway later.
Absolutely.
You see, we're going to go after the big ones now, and once we snowball into that courtroom and the people become a little more educated in the processes, we're going to write our book on how to go through these processes for the grand jury, you know, administrators, and how to bring the grand jury and the trial juries together. And then the people in counties across America can start opening up court cases to start to bring these people to justice, and let's put them where they belong, in jail.
Well, you stole my thunder, because what my point is that if we get some of these bigger people and we prosecute them, the whole system is done. It's done because it's an example. That's what the courts used to do. You see, right now, the IRS uses examples to make us good little taxpayers. We got to turn that around on them, and we got to make them out of examples so that they don't do it anymore, and the people could feel empowered to rise up and go after them. Because the people can go after them. Look, that's what the local grand jury is about. That's what empowering the county is about. We can't go after all these cases in these counties. But once we get in the court and once they recognize the administrators and the grand jury, it's over. They can all go fix their own cases. And these judges and stuff, they're gonna start, like you said, they're going to start using the Constitution if they want to stay in office. And they're going to hope that nothing comes out of their past. I mean, some of them are probably going to just pack their bags and leave because they got too many skeletons in their closet, stuff that we don't even know about. So it's really going to snowball in the right direction, and that's where we need to go. We need to have a couple of really solid wins, and then you'll see you're going to hear a stampede of the real evil ones leaving the country. It's going to take you 10 years to chase them down. But look at it. Each one of them is an example. So now, instead of us self-policing ourselves, we're going to use them for people to self-police the government.
Ten will chase 1,000, and 100 will chase 10,000.
And that's where we're at. That's our goal. That's our goal. And that's all we have to do is get a couple of them and get, you know, look, I'd like to see a good mortgage case. One good case on these different issues. Oh, the child abuse stuff, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one or two of them, when they see, I'd like to see Hillary Clinton behind bars for the rest. I'd like to see more than that, but I'm not going to say anything on the show, but you know what I mean.
All right, well, look, we've come to the end of our program here. We'll be back Monday, so thanks, everybody, for coming. I did see that we didn't push the recording button. I thought I did, but I didn't. But it looks like my recorder recorded all this, so if it did, I will be posting this tomorrow up on our Monday call-in. We'll put it up on it as a Thursday radio program call-in. And people can let other people know about this radio program here tonight. I wanted to advertise this, and I just never got around to it, hoping to get more people involved. But in any event, we'll get the word out. All right, thanks, everyone, for coming. Lord bless all, and we'll see you also next Thursday again, back for the COS, focusing back in on that. Good night, everybody.